हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So page 35, chapter 19, The Perfection of Spiritual Knowledge. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, one should have intense faith in topics which are nectar. Though all topics of the Lord are sweet, one should have faith in the very sweet topics related to the Lord's rasas. One should worship the, you know, means in other words, all of them are there, but at the same time is that having that faith in the relationships between the devotees. And the interaction between the Lord and the devotees, that's very important, because otherwise how do you develop, you know, prema, which is based on rasa, with Krishna if one has no faith in it? Yes. Right? So one has faith in all topics concerning Krishna, and especially in those ones that are connected with the interaction between Krishna's devotees. You know, like 10th canto, the Krishna book. Yes. We have faith that this Krishna and this is how he deals. Yes. Then we have all the philosophy and all that to back that up. Mm-hmm. Right. One should worship the devotees extensively, since one understands that this is more pleasing than worshiping me. Right? So Krishna takes more pleasure in that the devotees worship the devotees than in worshiping him. That's why in worshiping him, part of it is worship of the devotee. Right? You can't worship him without the guru. Like when it says that when you're doing the puja and doing the offering, you have an asan put there. Yes. Right? Now, you know, it's like you have the altar and there's an asan there, right? And put in front of the altar. Who's the asan for? Let's say we have Radha Krishna deities, right? Who's the asan for?
The guru.
The guru. Right? Now, you want one for them, all put that also. But if there's only one, that's for the guru, because he's the one who does the offering. And we're assisting. Yes. So that makes sense. So we have our own asan, and then we have that asan. Yes. Right? If you want more, then you put. I think like in Vrindavan, they'll put an asan for each of the deity, their own table and all that, but then you have to have another asan in which the spiritual master is going to make the offering. Yes. Yes. So, one offers bodily activities by understanding that one cleans the teeth or the body for service of the Lord. One can even use local languages or dialects to glorify or sing the Lord's qualities. Okay. Local dialects. Okay. One should give up articles for use in my festivals. One can give to guru and devotees on these occasions. Or another meaning is that one should give up objects unfavorable for bhakti. Right, just in saying the one thing, it does both. You give up things for Krishna, so that means you take things and offer things to Krishna. Means you give them up. It's not for you. It's for Krishna. That's giving it up, right? And you're not, because you say is, you know, no, but it's all part of the thing. Is that yes, but it's the giving up because you're giving it to him just for his pleasure. You're not trying to gain something from it. So that means when you give it, it's gone. It's not I've given this and now. Now they owe me. You know, it's like, you know, at the marriages, that you know, these big families, that they keep track of exactly who gave what and how much it cost, so that when you're invited to their wedding, then you know, okay, they gave something worth $500. You have to give like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. It's that's the way it works.
Everything, the name is written, the amount is written.
Yeah.
It's just kept in the locker.
And that's kept away. Then when time, then you get it out. And you look. They only gave this much. Yeah, so all these things are known. So that's what it means. That's not giving up. Right? It's a present, but there's still karma and jnana is still connected. But here you're giving up free from karma and jnana. But it also means then things that are unfavorable are given up, right? So things that are favorable for Krishna, you're giving them to Krishna without attachment. And unfavorable things are given up without attachment. Right? Once you give up enjoying women, bhogasya, and happiness, sukasya, derived from caring for children, one can perform sacrifice using sesame and ghee, or offer food to the Brahmins and devotees as sacrifice. One should chant japa, the Lord's mantra, or names 1,000 or 100,000 times. Giving donation, dattam, performing sacrifice, hutam, and chanting japa are 3 sacrifices, ishtam, are the 3 sacrifices. Donations, performing sacrifice, and japa. Right? These are the 3 kinds of sacrifices that are done. Sacrifice here means means the yagyas and that kind of thing. So giving in charity, the sacrifices, and japa. These are the 3 sacrifices of the devotees. In order to obtain me, one should perform vows like Ekadasi. That is the austerity of the devotee. Right? So that's so austerity, charity, and sacrifice. Right, so then that austerity is performing those vows, like Ekadasi, chanting your japa, doing all these things. So that's the austerity. Right? Or you can say, within sacrifice, these are the 3. Right? But it also, because charity is given as one there, then we can understand as the chanting japa, then that is the sacrifice. Of all the austerities, that's the main one. Right, then Ekadasi, festivals, daily programs, all these things. In order to attain me, one should perform vows like Ekadasi. That is the austerity of the devotee. What other result remains for the Nishkam devotee? The result in future lives is simply more hearing and chanting. When the jnani achieves his result, he gives up his sadhana. Right, so the jnani, he's hearing and chanting, but when he gets the result he wants, he stops that hearing and chanting because he got the result. But for the devotee, they perform this sacrifice of hearing and chanting. And then when they get the result of bhakti, they continue to hear and chant. So it doesn't change. That's the difference. That's why we say pure bhakti, these others are mixed.
How we can get into the proper mood?
That is to please Krishna. It's for Krishna. It's always about under authority, then we're doing this to please Krishna. So,
In the case that there is some perfection of spiritual life.
We can expect. And what is that perfection? Develop love for Krishna. Yes. Because the point is we know that the process works. And we know that Krishna says, you follow this process, he'll give you his blessing. So we have full confidence in that. But when that will happen, that's up to Krishna. But we have full confidence that it will happen. Right? If we have to know a time, or we have to know a proportion, after how much time do I get how much proportion of my spiritual benefit, then just keep chanting. Yeah. So, when the devotee attains his goal, he does not give up the hearing and chanting of his sadhana. Rather, his bhakti of hearing and chanting increases 1,000 times as an anubhava, conscious action motivated by prema, of the perfection of bhakti, which is prema. Right? So the perfection of bhakti is prema. And then the anubhava is that he's always manifesting, hearing, and chanting about Krishna. Sri Krishna continued. When one's peaceful consciousness, strengthened by the mode of goodness, is fixed on the supreme, on the personality of Godhead, one achieves religiosity, knowledge, detachment, and opulence. Right? All these things come. Right? Because if you follow religiosity, you get opulence. If you follow the activities like that, in the strengthened by goodness, then knowledge and detachment come. Right? Because if it's in goodness, it's actual knowledge. If it's not, then you don't. Because once they say I'm learning knowledge, I'm not getting, detachment. Because the knowledge itself won't give. It's the activity of doing it, from the mode of goodness that will give that. Right? But if it's done in bhakti, that will then give the greatest results. So all these results come because you're doing the activity to please Krishna. The results of those activity comes anyway.
Peaceful consciousness means fixed on Krishna.
Peaceful consciousness means without material desire. If you have material desire, the consciousness will always be non-peaceful.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. What results remain to be obtained? The bhakti just described cannot be explained to be bhakti, which is an anga of jnana. Bhakti, which is an anga of jnana, is different from that and has the nature of sattva-guna. By that type of bhakti mixed with sattva-guna, devotee with material desires attains dharma, jnana, vairagya, and aishwarya. That is explained in this verse. When the peaceful mind absorbed in me, paramatma concentrates on me with sattva-guna bhakti, one achieves dharma, jnana, vairagya, and aishwarya. So this is even, someone was saying, discussing the other day how devotees, are saying this is too much to give up, this, that, we have so many desires and needs we have to take care of. So dharma, jnana, vairagya, and aishwarya, that kind of covers it. So something missing there? Because aishwarya means any of the six opulences. Yeah? Like that. And so, and being better situated in religious principle, that's what gives these results. Right? But it's because of bhakti that's happening. So when the jnana is there and you apply it in the devotional service, you get these results. But the point is the actual result is prema. Right? Because in the beginning, one may think that this is the results, but actually no, developing prema. He's just come anyway. Like you see, any of Krishna's place where he's with the devotees, it's always very opulent. Right? Dwarka, Mathura, Vrindavan, they're the most opulent. Vaikuntha. So wherever it's going, these things are there, but that's not the interest of the devotee. But it'll be there anyway. Sri Krishna continued. When consciousness is fixed on the material body, home, and other similar objects of sense gratification, one spends one's life chasing after material objects with the help of the senses. Consciousness, thus powerfully affected by the modes of passion, becomes dedicated to impermanent things. And in this way, irreligion, ignorance, attachment, and wickedness arise. As a side benefit, you don't have to separately endeavor for them. You just have to maintain your material attachments, be focused on them, and act in that mode of passion. And then you will naturally develop irreligion, ignorance, attachment, and wretchedness. With no separate endeavor.
So, Maharaj, the dream of the modern people that they'll be just attached to material enjoyment and at the same time have peaceful society.
Yeah, that, you can't do that. So, interesting thing here is also just, we see that Krishna's been doing this all throughout, is that there'll be some, if there needs some background, he'll give the background. But once the background is given, then he'll give the essential point, right? The highest point. Then after that, it'll give below that, then below that, then below that. So he gave the essence of pure devotional service. Now he's describing mixed with goodness, mixed with passion, mixed with ignorance.
Yes.
So he's done that also in previous times. He'll start, does that make sense? And then go up. Come down. So depending upon the situation. Okay.
The best thing as a teacher to do that.
Principal and after. Yeah, because otherwise then they go up and then they may get distracted by
yes.
Before you get there. No, you give the essence and everything's seen in context of that.
Yes.
No, it works. Yeah. So in consciousness built on the material body, home, and other similar objects of sense gratification. Right? Then what's going to happen? You're going, because you're concentrated on it, then you'll follow those. And because of following those, then you become attached or dedicated to and attached to these. You become dedicated to these impermanent things. Because body, home, family, facilities, position, all these different things, you know, all the, they say, what we were discussing this morning, all the perfection of the professionals, is all like that. So, and this will bring about, in a natural way, irreligion, ignorance, attachment, and wretchedness. Right? Because when irreligion comes up, you see, wretchedness will come. And ignorance and attachment. Because you're focused on the temporary, that's ignorance. And you're attached to that. Right? And because it's about that, then you'll take that as the goal. So even if something's not proper to do, you'll do it anyway because of your attachment. That will therefore naturally irreligion comes up. When irreligion comes up, then there'll naturally be wretchedness. Right? But like Prabhu was saying, we expect to get, you know, we want material attachment. We expect that it'll come out, you know, religiosity, knowledge, detachment, and opulence by functioning in passion. But it doesn't. It's just not like that.
There's a mistake somewhere.
Yeah. It's just. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. The opposite action is described. When the mind absorbed in body and house, vikalpe, pursues material objects and rajas, becomes attached to forbidden objects. Know that it achieves opposite results. One achieves adharma, ajnana, avairagya, and anaishwarya. Yes, Sri Krishna concluded, actual religious principles are stated to be those that lead one to my devotional service. Real knowledge is the awareness that reveals my all-pervading presence. Detachment is complete disinterest in the objects of material sense gratification. And opulence is the eight mystic perfections, such as anima siddhi. Right? So we see everything connected to Krishna. Right? And for the devotee, they have these, but they don't care about them. Because it's just a matter of how will if Krishna's performing human pastimes, what do you need mystic siddhis for? Right? So that's the point. So how these pastimes unfold, that's in the process. You know, that's in the process. Right? So we see is that, you know, there. He gives the background, then he'll give the point, then give any other coming down from there, and then he'll give conclusion, you know, just on how it should be seen. Okay. So we see he takes it back up. Verses 28 to 45, distinguishing between good, bad, and transcendental. Right? So what is that? It means infer. Transcendental is one thing, good and bad is another. Because it doesn't. So good and bad are within mundane. Transcendental is another thing. So the material, what we call good and bad, is material good and bad. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Spiritual means what is transcendental and what's not. So in other words, transcendental is good, and good and bad is bad.
Yes.
That's it? Yeah. Sri Uddhava said, my dear Krishna, Lord Krishna, O chastiser of the enemies, please tell me how many types of disciplinary regulations and regular daily duties there are. Also, my Lord, tell me what is mental equilibrium, what is self-control, and what is the actual meaning of tolerance and steadfastness, right? So we hear these terms all the time, that one should be steadfast and, you know, one should be tolerant. You want to be self-controlled, balanced, you know, the mind is, you know, balanced and all that, or peaceful. So he's asking, what do these mean? Because we saw here before, religious principles that lead to devotional service. Now that's religious principles. Mm-hmm. Right? Knowledge is awareness that reveals his all-pervading presence. Mm-hmm. Right? How Krishna's in everything, how everything's connected to Krishna. Yeah. That's then real knowledge.
Yes.
Right? That brings you to that transcendental position. Right? Detachment means you're detached from sense gratification. Mm-hmm. right? The objects of sense gratification, material sense gratification. So one is looking for serving Krishna. Yes.
Krishna says he is chastising on the enemy, and although he says devotees are his enemies, friends are enemies, so it could be seen as a contradiction.
It just means what's opposing devotional service. Does that make sense? Yeah, because the point is that Duryodhana is opposing, you know, the performance of devotional service by Yudhishthira Maharaj and his brothers. Right? So that's where the problem comes. But they don't mind making that, Duryodhana doesn't mind making that problem for anybody. So it's just that, I mean, specifically he's going to make it for Yudhishthira, but he'll make it for anybody. So in that way he's, you know, liberal. Yes. Like that. All those others, Jarasandha and all that, you know, so those 20,000 kings, you know, without discrimination between them, that he gave them all the problem. You know what I'm saying? So that's the difficulty, is that they'll stop the proper performance of devotional activities. Because real religious principles should lead to Krishna consciousness. Real knowledge become detached from, I mean, know everything about Krishna, and then that will bring about that detachment. Because if it's all Krishna, then what's to enjoy? Right? It's all about serving Krishna, and that's the enjoyment. So, yeah. What are charity, austerity, and heroism? And how are reality and truth to be described? What is renunciation and what is wealth? What is desirable? What is sacrifice? And what is religious remuneration? My dear Keshava, O most fortunate one, how am I to understand the strength, opulence, and profit of a particular person? What is the best education? What is actual humility? And what is real beauty? What are unhappiness and unhappiness? What is learned? Who is learned and who is a fool? What are the true and the false paths in life? And what are heaven and hell? Who is indeed a true friend? And what is one's real home? Who is a rich man and who is a poor man? Who is wretched and who is an actual controller? O Lord of the Lords, kindly explain these matters to me, along with their opposites. And so I think it was pointed out before, similar kind of questions there Arjuna is asking, not quite as elaborate, but it's the same kind of principle. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments, right? Because these situations, these religious activities, these situations, these mentalities, like that, these attitudes, these are all in support of devotional service. Like you said, actual religious principles are stated to be those that lead one to my devotional service. Real knowledge is the awareness that reveals my all-pervading presence. Right? So that means is that all the qualities have their origin in service to Krishna. So they need a definition. Otherwise, we're used to the definition on the material platform. Right? Like, because be nice is then defined by what we say is nice. Right? Because if I say, yes, everybody should be nice. Now, will everybody agree with that? Yeah, because everybody has a different idea of what's nice. Right? The bank robbers are thinking, wouldn't it be nice if we just went in and they just gave us the money? We didn't have to make all that scene. You know, so it's just, you know, that everybody has their idea of that. So that's the point. It's impersonal. It sounds nice. Everybody should be nice. But it's actually impersonal. Because it doesn't have any specifics, any direction. But when you say being nice means that, you know, doing things that are pleasing to Krishna, and so, or seeing all the living entities in connection with Krishna as his parts and parcels, and therefore to deal properly, then it has a specific meaning.
Yes.
Right? So that's the thing. Due to avidya, then it's taken that our definitions are theoretical, and the mundane ones, then they're real. That's why he's asking, what's knowledge and what's real and what's not? What's knowledge, what's not? So that's the whole thing. When it's connected to Krishna, that's where it has its actual meaning. If it's not connected to Krishna, then it's generic. It doesn't have that. You know, but anyway, even you're going to define that. How do you define that even on the material platform? That's where the problem comes.
Yes.
So everybody may get together onto the, you know, everybody be nice campaign. But now, as long as they're fighting against those that say, no, we don't have to be nice. You know, we have the right to be grumpy. You know, like that. Okay, so, you know, like that. So you have the, what do you call it? The grumpy pride parade, right? To go out and, you know, show our grumpiness. You know, like this. So, but it doesn't, the thing, once that's done and now you've defeated all the grumpies, right? Now everybody has to be nice. Now the problem is, how do you define nice? And then you'll see, it'll just fall apart. Right? So that's how it goes. When you deal with issues, that's what they will do. Because they're generic, they're impersonal. So as soon as you try to make it personal, it won't work. So that's the difficulty. Right? You know, it's like, what do you call it? Maybe just, it means it's a typical example, right? You have, again, you know, not trying to flog a dead horse here. I mean, Louis the is quite dead. But the point is that, you know, that Louis there, he's running things. One guy has that control. Right? And the others don't like it. So they all get together. Yes, we don't want this one guy controlling. They get rid of him. Now what? Now it doesn't work. So did they come up with something? No, now they get Napoleon. One guy who's in control. Right? And then when they get rid of him, then they get another. I think there were three Napoleons? Or it's the same guy, just in three different... You know, is he like Vikramaditya? It's the same guy? Or it's different? Yes? No? I don't know. Three different ones.
There were three, but the one in the middle one, he was non-important.
Okay. Who is the one with the three-cornered hat?
That was the first one.
And the hand and the coat?
Yeah.
And in Corsica, enjoying horse urine? That was the first one. Okay. Second one was didn't matter much, and the third one must have been more kind of more modern political kind of thing. Okay. But it's like this, or you get rid of the czar, and you end up with Stalin. So that's the thing, is that they come up with these, and then they don't know what to do, and they'll end up with the same thing. Right? That's just the whole point. So that's why, unless you have a definition given by Krishna, you can't have reality. It's not possible. You can say, no, we'll create, but then who are we to create reality? Right? We're Shakti. Shakti can only work based on Shaktiman. So we can't create things without his potency. That's just how it works. So, therefore, without him, without these being defined in connection with devotional service, all these things we will define according to our material conditioning.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And whoever talks loudest then generally, you know, gets a prominence. Because most people don't really care. Right? They have bills to pay, they got, you know, kids to feed. So they're busy doing that. The guys that don't have anything to do, then they're up there yelling and screaming and all that. And so again, let them yell and scream. But when it comes down to reality, it's like, who cares? No? Okay. So it's important, because we take it that, okay, the external things, then those, okay, we offer those to Krishna. But jnana is its own, you know, its own, what do you call it?
Position.
Yeah, its own position. It's unique. And then good qualities is also another unique position.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. And generally we would call good qualities spiritual.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty, is that, no, spiritual means it's for Krishna. Then we use the different qualities and the different facilities and endeavors and results and knowledge for Krishna. So, yeah, good. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. After hearing about Dharma and other qualities and their opposites, in five verses, Uddhava asks about the defining qualities of other items, starting with Yama. Ishtam Danam means respectable wealth. Right? Not just any old wealth, right? Yeah, so, yeah. I say, yeah. Shri means ornamentation. Prasnan means the matters under question, or prashnan. After explaining the meaning of these items, I can understand their opposites naturally. Right, because if you explain what is respectable wealth, you know what's not respectable wealth.
Yes.
Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments. Oh no, we just did that one. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, non-violence, truthfulness, not coveting or stealing the property of others, detachment, humility, freedom from possessiveness, trust in the principles of religion, celibacy, silence, steadiness, forgiveness, and fearlessness are the 12 primary disciplinary principles. Internal cleanliness, external cleanliness, chanting the holy names of the Lord, austerity, sacrifice, faith, hospitality, worship of me, visiting holy places, acting and desiring only for the supreme interest. Satisfaction and service to the spiritual master are the 12 elements of regular prescribed duties. Right? So these were disciplinary principles and prescribed duties. These 24 elements bestow all desired benediction upon those persons who devotedly cultivate them. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. In two verses, Krishna defines 12 yama and then 12 niyama. Saucham refers to two items, external cleanliness and internal cleanliness. The yamas and niyamas mentioned in the two verses supply all desires sufficiently, yata. The yamas and niyamas mentioned by the Lord are the same as commonly mentioned by other authorities in number and characteristics. The question and answer resolve the doubt whether the Lord's opinion is different concerning the number and characteristics of the items. Right? Because Manu also will mention, everybody will mention, whether they'll bring it out exactly in so succinctly as 12 of this, 12 yama, 12 niyama. That because the Lord is he is the Veda. Yes. He's the knower of the Veda. So he can give that essence like that. Yes. So that's what's special. Yes.
Mm. What would be the differences between them? Usually we say yama is something that you do, niyama you don't, or the opposite.
Means the disciplinary, means that that's something that is for correction.
Like non-violence, truthfulness, all those are yamas.
Yes, but that keeps you from... do we have to teach violence? Do we have to treat, you know, lying? You know, what about... coveting, right? Your next door neighbor has this really good donkey, you know. Never seen such a good quality donkey, right? So in other words, they're primary disciplinary. They're the ones that correct, right? And then what you should be doing, you know, then is the internal cleanliness. You have to endeavor for external cleanliness, chanting the holy name like this. Right, so he's mentioned internal and external, so those are just one thing, because if you count, you might end up with more than, what do you call it? 12, yeah, so then you get the peak. Okay, so, Vriti, now the unique qualities of other items, which are different from the definitions given by other teachers, and which are to be accepted by persons performing sadhana, are described until the end of the chapter. Sardarta Darshini 11, 1936. Right, so now, these are all mentioned by all the authorities, but now definitions of these that are not given by the other authorities, now that Krishna will give here. And what the definition he gives, that's for the devotees. Right? Yes, well, okay. Sri Krishna continued, absorbing the intelligence in me constitutes mental equilibrium. Right? So if you can always think of Krishna, that means then that will be mental equilibrium. Then you'll be balanced like that. Because it's when sometimes you think and then sometimes you don't, that will be the cause of disturbance. Or when you have sometimes you think about this material thing, sometimes that material thing, and then trying to balance, that's where the equilibrium is lost. Okay? Does that make sense?
Maharaj, before Krishna was explaining with the influence of the tribuna, now it is pure devotion.
Yes, means just with their effects and everything. Yes. But they're all, it's all about the devotees and all about how they should be engaged. But now specifically he's shown, just like before, he saw religiosity, what it actually means. So now he's asked these questions, now he's giving these definitions in the context of pure devotion. Because otherwise before they're mentioned as tools to be used in devotional service.
Yes.
But now he's defining exactly what those tools are in context of devotional service. Because otherwise, you know, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the example of taking your morning bath, then the long effect is that it'll be engaged in Krishna service. But the immediate effect is physical health.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so the whole point is between gaining that physical health and engaging Krishna service, you could get distracted.
Yes.
Right? So now, then Krishna will define taking bath means taking bath before performing, you know, to be clean for doing service to him.
Yes.
Then it doesn't have any other meaning. Because the other one, it can mean all, means we'll interpret it to mean its connection with Krishna.
Yes.
But it could be interpreted outside of that. You know, I say, just like when we say seeing all living entities equally, then that means you see them all connected to the Lord and parts of the Lord. Therefore, each one according to their position is seen according to that nature, and you interact according to that nature.
Yes.
Because that nature is given by Krishna also.
Yes.
That nature is Krishna. So the soul is in that, so you relate to the soul through that nature. Just like Krishna, he relates to us, you know, in the position of Paramatma, to us through our nature.
Yes.
But he's directing towards the soul. But we see things in context of our nature.
Mm.
Right? If we're sitting there and you do something, you know, that's wrong, let's say that therefore, you know, there should be a problem with the place where you live.
Yes.
Now, if that happens to your neighbor, you don't care.
Yes.
But if it happens to your house, then you care.
Yes.
So that's why it's always going to be through your nature.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So the same way as you see all living entities connected to Krishna, and so therefore, on that platform of soul, you deal with them all equally, is that according to their nature, that's how you're going to deal with them, because that nature is defined by Krishna. So that's equal vision. You see, start with the soul, then you look at the conditioning.
Yes.
Right? But in the modern, the political form of equality means you're looking simply at the external, the secondary, and not even specific. Because in the Vedic, what's meaning there is that you're seeing equally all the soul. That you're seeing the generic thing, but the differences in the conditioning you're seeing individually.
Yes.
So in the modern, you see the idea of them themselves, you know, dealing with all these living entities, you see them all generically, not individually. So as long as they fit within your context of how they should be, it works. Does that make sense? You know, so that's the difficulty, is that it's not defined by Krishna. You don't have a definition of what means equality. And so from the political platform, you can come up with all kinds of strange things. But depending upon the position of politics, it can adjust. Yes.
Sometimes we see, especially for the leaders, among the devotees, we see the combination between following the rules and regulations and being personal. It's very difficult to balance
mm-hmm.
those two.
Yeah.
Because rules and regulations, basically, they're impersonal. They're all for everybody.
Right.
And then personal means you have to think about it.
Right, right.
So how to balance those two?
Because you have that conviction that this is the service. It means otherwise, what's the point of being a big guy if you're not going to put in the effort to make it apply to the individual? Otherwise,
just put the rules and say, that's it, we've got the rules.
But that's not a leader, that's a bureaucrat. And bureaucrats are shudras. That should just be very, very clear. Right? Leadership means that's the uniqueness, is they see the individual and their nature and then how to compare that to their. You can say, oh, but that's difficult, but then don't go into that field. You know what I'm saying? Don't go into that field if you find that difficult. Yes? Yeah? Means that maybe, okay, well, no one else is doing it, so I have to do it. Then you do your best. But when the pride comes up as, oh, it's difficult. It, since when is it everybody's job to make the manager's life easier? Because if that's there, they can do it themselves. You don't need the manager. Right? Technically, that's called an oligarchy. You don't need a manager. So that there is because then there are problems. They have to work it out. So that's the Vedic standard, is that you have the rules and they have to be applied to the individual. So you have to see what aspects of the rules apply to this individual in what situation. And you have to then be able to deal that with everybody else also. Because if you don't, then you just lose the whole thing. Because you'll say, oh, it's easier. But it's not about easier. So then if that's the case, then shouldn't we just, for the temple, for the Sunday program, only get those, what do you call it? You know, instant noodles. Because you have all those cups, pour hot water in there, right? Because you need only one pot. Right? And then the pot doesn't really become dirty by boiling water in it. And then pour it in all the cups, and then it's all, you know, the little cups, the little plastic things, and afterwards, then you have the bin that gets thrown out. That's the only thing you really have to manage. Someone boiled the water, and someone does throw out the garbage. So then, if we went by this thing, is no, it's whatever's the practical and most easy. That is. You know what I'm saying? And if you throw the garbage and the boiling water, that's a problem, but, you know, we have a vehicle. Then it's just everybody online, you know, says who's interested in the Sunday program, and we'll come around and we'll deliver your noodles for you, but you have to put the hot water and you have to throw it away in your own bin, because we're not going to do that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the whole difficulty, is that this modern kind of professional, because most professionals are shudras. Or even if they're Brahmins, they're dealt like shudras. Like the doctor is a Brahmin, supposed to be, but he works in a hospital or a clinic which is run by a businessman. So they keep them like shudras.
Yeah.
So then we think that shudra is the perfection of life. You know, because it's about, you know, equality, it's about the masses, it's about the broad base and all those kind of things like that. Not about, well, what's at the top. Okay, if you have a broad base, what does that infer? That there's a smaller at the top. So the point is does the broad base know what to do? No, they know how to sit down there and hold things up. You know, it's what's at the top that's important. You know, it's just like you have the, you know, a display of something. Let's say you have one of those Fabergé, say, eggs. You know? And that'll be on a stand, and that will be in a glass case, and that'll be in a big thing going down to the floor. So then getting down on the floor and looking down there, you know, saying, yeah, well, we don't have one of these. You know, we only have one of those eggs, but, you know, we don't have this big, you know, huge, wide, broad base at the bottom here, you know. Is that... The whole point is that it's about what is the essence. And so, because we don't see the essence, that's why even our approach to it will be just broad and impersonal. It's just all these rules and so like that. So we, by using just the rule, then we don't have to be personal.
Yeah, because it's annoying.
It is annoying, but then the whole point is can we change annoying to difficult? Okay, difficult.
I guess annoying is more an emotional thing.
Yes, but the point is it's difficult. Let's put it in the generic difficult, okay? Now, taking care of family, is that not difficult?
Difficult.
Yeah, but why are we inspired to do it?
Because it's our duty, we get reciprocation, different
things. You get benefits, right? Yeah. Like that. And so that's then the whole point. So then if you manage or lead in the way that the scriptures define, that you have the rules and then you have to individually apply them, you'll see that the results you get are so much greater. So much greater. Before you go down to the Ganga, you know, during the festival, you know, take a bath because it's one of those recommended things like that. But even if it wasn't the Ganga, it means the Ganga, if it was the Thames or, you know, what's the one in Sain?
Sen.
You know, like that, because it's hot, you'd go down and bathe. But whatever it is, since it's the Ganges, whether that's the benefit, right? So you go down there. And who's down there? All the leaders of society. Right? And then what are they doing? They're hearing and chanting. You go, you know, Satsrup is reading from, you know, how you say, you know, one book, and Hridayananda is reading from another book, and this one's reading from a different book. So one's reading Nectar Devotion, one's Bhagavad Gita, one's Bhagavatam, one's TLC. And then they're doing it, all the different devotees, wherever they want to be. Then they sit there and hear and this and ask questions and all that. And then when you get too hot, everyone goes in the Ganga, spend some time there. When you cool down, you come back out, and that way you spend the whole afternoon. Right? Then the evening kirtan, everyone's there. Kirtan's being led by one of these leaders, and all the others are there. So you see 20 dandas hanging on Radha Madhava's gate. You know, like Nrisimhadeva has that grill. So before, Radha Madhava's a little lower, and everyone hung their dandas on it. Now, even now, sometimes you see that they'll hang there on that during the festival. Not so often nowadays. But does this make some sense?
Yeah.
So that means they're there, they're approaching, because they're willing to deal with people. But if you're going to be a bureaucrat and it's all about rules and that, then the less you see people, the better.
Yes.
Do we see our leaders? We'll leave it at this point. We'll leave the dots to be connected. The point is when you take an impersonal system, then your dealings with the whole will be impersonal. Because if you can't deal with the man, you can't deal with anything connected with personal.
Yeah. The argument put from the opposition is that because we have to deal with every individual individually,
right? Yes.
We don't follow the rules. You know, what are the rules for them if we don't follow the rules? Because we have to adjust for each individual. It means we don't follow them.
Okay. Just like, okay. Let us take another example, another approach, that you have the system of cooking,
yep.
Right? And you have, and then these systems of cooking can be put into broad categories. Yep. And within those categories, then you can get, you know, specific recipes. But those recipes are made up of the technicalities, variety of technicalities of cooking,
yeah,
that are being applied for the various, you know, whatever ingredient you're working with.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so now this comes down to two parties here. Those who have somehow or another involved in cooking, whether they like it or not. You know, they got a big family to feed, and so if you don't cook something, then, you know, it's a problem. Because somehow or another, you've read from the internet, if they just eat only from McDonald's, then after about a month, they might die. So, you know. And they're not that bad yet that you would consider that as an option. Right? Right? There's still a little, what do you call it? Prospect, hope, yeah, a little hope, a little, yeah. Potential, yes, some potential, some hope, yeah. So, therefore, they follow recipes. They don't have a recipe, they cannot cook. Literally. One ingredient's missing, finished. But now you take someone who's actually a cook, they know all the whole system, so therefore, each individual thing, they cook. And it's never cooked the same twice. It's always adjusting for the thing. Because you do, okay, let's say I don't know if you still have it now. The cauliflower sometimes has a stronger flavor because it's slightly out of season, and it has a more pleasant flavor when it's in. So you have to adjust how you do the spicing and everything like that. So they're constantly adjusting. So the difference is between, like I said, a bureaucrat and a actual leader. The bureaucrat without the rule, they cannot function. They have no position, no meaning, no authority, nothing. And a leader, they can always apply it to that. Now you may say it's trouble, but that's my point. For the cook, it's not trouble. It's just, it's the art of applying the science. Right? But for someone who's not a cook, or a chef, or whatever, like that, then for them, without it, it's very difficult. And let's say they are an aspiring chef, but they have to follow recipes because they don't know enough. Great. But the actual, if you know the principles, that actually works, you'll learn much quicker than if you just go by recipes. But you'd have to do hundreds and hundreds of recipes to see the patterns. Well, if you've just given the format of what it is, in one sitting, you can actually understand the whole thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's actually what we're dealing with here. But the point is like we said before, is that even though we're given the butter, but there's this concept of, well, the milk and the yogurt are actually more advanced. It's not understood what it takes to get that butter. So you have to know what you're doing to get that. And so then we look back and, wow, the milk does these things when you eat it and on the body. And if you take yogurt, it's that. It's opposite. So, then what's happening here? And then how do we get the butter? We get confused. And so that's the difficulty, is that then one shouldn't be doing that. Because Prabhupada is trying to keep this very small, right? Yeah. Is that if it's based on leadership, how many leaders do you need?
One.
Not many. But if you're working on bureaucracy, how many do you need? That's the whole point. So therefore, since for us it's about practical devotional service, we're more interested in leadership than bureaucracy. Though bureaucracy appears to be, big and sophisticated and all this and that, and it's something very important. But in actuality, who deals with the people and gets things done with the people are leaders, not bureaucrats. Because who even knows? Who's even seen? Before, a temple president, he give the classes, do the ishtagostis, lead kirtans, go out on Hari Nam, be there at the Sunday programs preaching and this and that, because they were leading. And so there's very little management. The temple commander takes care of that. And he has some time in the office because he has to spend time with the treasurer and then, meet the head pujari and the head cook and that. But it's very minimal because they'll get it because there's leadership. So then they take on the mood of leader. But when you take on the mood of bureaucrat, then that means guys under you want to be the big guy. So they want to be the bureaucrat. So then they have to, it's like, what you're saying? You have the GBC, then you have to have the assistant GBC, then you have to have the regional GBC, and then you have to have the... Before it was one guy. Literally. You know what I'm saying? Gopal Krishna Maharaj was the GBC for India and as far east until you bumped into the Pacific Ocean. So that means from India means not... Yeah, I think it even included Russia. It was just this side of Asia. And things were dynamic, happening like that. And you'd always see it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's the whole thing, is that we have to understand the system that's been given by Prabhupada. Yes, it's more difficult, but it's more efficient, it's more personal, it matches what we're doing. Like that? Because if it's all about association, then associating with leaders is very important. Because you're supposed to associate with more advanced than you. And so it's about the devotional service, it's about the Sadhu Sangha. So that's the whole point. Prabhupada expected a GBC meeting to last 3 days. And that was it. Because it's just leadership based. But as soon as you make it bureaucrat based, then, you could have meetings every day forever and it would still... That. Chai. Hariva. Hariva.
Oh. Yeah. A new leader is coming.
Yes, a new leader. The next generation. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
That's why you have also the phenomenon where you have a leader who can apply the rule to the individual, but then you have people who are actually criticizing him because he's personal, because they're worried that he's exercising his personal ability.
Yeah, he's getting some personal benefits.
They think like that.
Some personal authority, personal control, like that. But that's the whole difficulty. That's why it has to be established what's real. Because otherwise, we'll have our definitions. And depending upon where you're from, your background, then you'll say, yeah, there has to be a guy that calls the shot. And the other, no, you can't, you know, he said absolute power corrupts absolutely. You know, but like we said before, you know, in Vedanta Sutra, it says, where does your authority for that absolute statement come from?
Yes.
Because if you have such absolute authority to absolutely state this statement, then you must be corrupt also, like the thing. So if you're corrupt, how can we take your statement as valid? You know? So that's the difficulty, is you'll always have those who can't see beyond the external and within the external of their context. Because if I was in that, you know, generally, if I was in that situation, I would do this. So therefore, if he's in that situation, he will be doing this also, rather than they might not be. So that's why these kind of mundane things we can't cultivate. We have to study this and get rid of that. Because if they're smart enough to, you know, feel they have an opinion, then they're smart enough to study this. You know. Yeah. Because, I mean, you know, I say, you know, Covey makes some nice points, but he'll never get down to this. You know, does that make sense? Okay. I mean, he does have a bald head, so it is. But, yeah.
So Maharaj, only Krishna and his representatives can give a real definition.
Yes, they can only give a real definition. Then based on that, that's where we have to have that conviction.
Yes.
Even though we don't have the realization, but we have the conviction and try to work on that. And then from that, so much greatness will be done.
Yes.
Then if we find that there's some weakness there, okay. But then correct the weakness. Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Because otherwise, that's the whole thing. It's taken as external, so you throw the whole thing out. Oh, we can't have leadership. Leadership has done so much wrong. Why? Bureaucracy's never done anything wrong in the past. In all history, bureaucracy's been like the perfection. And whenever they deviated from that and used leadership, that's when the problem came. Right? Remember, you know, Caesar went around, killed all those, what do you call it? You know, senators and all that, and just remained in that absolute position of power. Wasn't that how it worked? Wasn't that the history? No?
Yeah.
Huh?
Or slightly different.
Slightly different. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm a little rusty on my history, sorry. Yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi. You know, it's not that we don't need bureaucracy, but it has to be under leadership. That's the thing. It has its place, but that's what leadership is for. So the paperwork, yes, you have to have a bureaucrat. They're there. That's the mention in Arthashastra. They're always there. But they have to be controlled by leadership. Otherwise, they'll make everything in person.
They always tend to try to get out of that control, and then leaders, like the actual leaders, they just buy it with, you know, just to hold the pressure, and they just drop it. And then it's all bureaucracy.
Yeah, of course. But the point is if you do what Prabhupada said, follow what Prabhupada said, then it's like this. It's so different. It works. Otherwise, you know, Prabhupada is the example, you know, United Nations, you know, where is the United? There's a new flag every, you know, every year or so. So how is United? They're breaking up.
Unity and
Sorry?
Unity in diversity.
Unity in diversity, yes. Another one. Yes, yes.
We can say diversity without any unity.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but we have diversity in unity. Because that's the whole point. If you have that, you can deal with the diversity. No. Yeah, so that's the difference. Unity and diversity, or diversity and unity. So they're all, how you say, all working together to make it not work.